Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a responsible day for the 15th of Adar. Today we're going to discuss a tshuva of Rabbi Elazar Fleckless. I think that's his name, Fleckless. It's Shut Tshuva Me'ahava, the first part, the first volume, Simon Reish Yud, responsible number 210. Rabbi Elazar ben David Fleckless was a student of the Noda Behuda, very close to the Noda Behuda. He was born in Prague in 1754. He passed away there in 1826. He was a student of the Noda Behuda's Rabbi Yecheskel Lando. He served as a dayan on the Noda Behuda's Beis Din. After the Noda Behuda passed away, he was the chief rabbi of Prague. So he's like he's the significant successor to the Noda Behuda. And on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar, we saw a tshuva of his, a tshuva the Noda Behuda sent to him about Eruvin issues, about how to build an Eruv or not an Eruv with a ditch around it. You may remember. If not, you can go back and study it again. Okay. So on the 15th of Adar, which is Shushan Purim, Tav Kuf Samach Chet, 1808. In Prague, he discussed an issue that I had not realized was even an issue. I just, when I came across this tshuva, I had not known that this was a thing. And it sheds light on the reading of the Megillah on the 15th of Adar in Shushan Purim in various ways. What he reports to us is that his ancestors, Avotai, which means probably his father, his grandfather, but certainly his ancestors that he knows of, and his teachers, had a custom to read the Megillah again on the 15th. Right, they would observe Purim on the 14th of Adar, like all cities do, but they would read Megillah again on the 15th. They would send Mishloach Manot again on the 15th. They would send Matanot Elev Yonim, gifts to the poor, money to the poor, on the 15th, and maybe they would have a Suda as well. It's not clear in the manuscript of the Tshuva because Suda is like in a bracket, so I'm not sure. I think they might have had a Suda as well. And the only difference was they wouldn't make a bracha on the Megillah when they read it on the 15th. And the reason they did it was they said that it's a doubt about Prague, whether it's Mukefet Choma Miyemot Yehoshua bin Nun. Right? The standard to be an ear, a city that reads the Megillah, that it celebrates Purim on the 15th of Adar, is to be have a wall back from the time of Yehoshua bin Nun. And the people in Prague in the late 1700s, early 1800s, were saying that they have a doubt about that. They think that Prague might be such a city, and therefore, out of worry of it, they would sort of keep both days. Now, it is true, I mean, I don't know what's true. I will say that Wikipedia tells me that the region has been settled for a long, long time, maybe back to the Paleolithic Age in the 5th and 4th century BCE, before the Common Era. There were Celts in the era, in the area, and they lived there in the last century BCE, then they were driven away by the Germanic tribes. So a second century map mentioned a city around where present-day Prague is called Kasurgis, a Germanic city. But in terms of the wall, I'm not sure why they would think that all the way back in Saman Yehoshua bin Nun, they already had the wall there, but that was what some people held. So this is not a historical discussion, it's about what they held. So they said they have a tradition that maybe they had a wall, and therefore they're suffic about it, and therefore they think that you should be machmi, you should be stringent to keep both days of Purim. So and that's what Rabbi Elazar Fleckless says he himself did, miyom she'amadati al da'ati, from when I was old enough to think about it, old enough to have an opinion, old enough to observe it, I did that as well. Now remember, if it's 1754 that he's born, so he's 46, he's a 54-year-old man at this point, and he's writing about this question. So now, already, he's thinking, you know, I always do this, but most of the people in Prague don't, and there are many of them who are B'nai Torah, who are Torah scholars, who are observant, muflagim b'chassidut, who are, you know, very punctilious in their observance, and they celebrate the 14th, and that's it. So it occurred to me, and I think it's interesting to watch, you're a 54-year-old man is when it occurs to you, right? Because as we get older, we just think about things we haven't ever thought before. If we're live, living, exciting people and with a vibrant mind, we come across new things and we say, oh, I haven't thought about this before. I should think about it. So that's what he's doing here. So the people we're reading on the 15th, are they really following what the halacha should be, and really everybody else in Prague has got it wrong? That's one option. Or is it a midat chassidut, or are they doing it because it's a stringency, it's a worthy stringency, but a stringency, and therefore all the people who don't do it, there's nothing wrong with them not doing it. It's just a midat chassidut. It's with those who are intent on being as observant as possible, as you know, as much in accord with the will of Hashem as possible, not just what's demanded or required or even a little above it, but they want to do it extra, or maybe it's not even a midah chasidut. Maybe it's just nothing. Maybe it's just a custom that has no real value to it. So he's not going to get into the historical question. Right? One way to attack this issue that I can imagine people saying is, well, let's just look and see if there's any possibility that it was a mukaf chom mishubin nun. He's not really going to get into that. It'll come up, by the way, a little bit. But he's going to take for granted that there is a tradition that some people think that there's some doubt about when the wall was built. So that part of it we're not really going to deal with a lot. So what we're going to deal with is what happens when you have a city that has a debate about it, right? We're not going to try to prove what the story is, but he's going to say our situation is some people say that the city of Prague has the wall around the city of Prague was from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, and some people say not. So what do you do in that situation? A conflict of reports, a conflict of ideas, right? So the Beis Yosef in Orach Chaim Tav Reish Pechet, which is about Purim issues, quotes the Maharia Bohav, who was an important halachic scholar. Maria Bohav said that, and this actually somebody also just recently told me that I didn't realize it. Somebody asked me, a man named David Hachhauser, actually, who put these things online for me. I have a lot of good friends at the OU who helped me with these shiurim. Rabbi Jack Abramowitz spearheads the whole project, and David Hachhauser puts them up online for us. So David Hachhauser was listening to to yesterday's shiur about the question of Mukavat Chaman. He said, as far as he knows, only Yerushalayim keeps just the 15th, and all the other cities in Eretz Yisrael that keep the 15th do it as a second day, and they do it as a suffix, and they do it after having kept the 14th as well. I don't know if that's true. If you know that's true, or if you know of a city that keeps only the 15th and is not connected to Yerushalayim, right? It's not that it's a suburb of Yerushalayim, it's on its own, keeps only the 15th, I'd love to hear about it. My email is grothst@gmail.com, and I would appreciate hearing about it, and maybe I'll give you a shout-out in a later shiur. So the Ria Bohav didn't like the custom that every city with a wall reads on the 14th and the 15th. He says that when the Rambam, this is what the Ria Bohav says, when the Rambam said that you only read on the 2 days, the Rambam meant it was a city where some say it was Mukavet Choma and some say it wasn't. Meaning not that it has a wall, and therefore you assume it's a problem, right? That's what the Rabbi Yerbov is about. He, in his mind, the Rabbi Yerbov's time, when he was witnessing, was any city with a wall would say, well, it might have been back in the time of Yeshua, and therefore we'll read the Megillah on both days. And what he says is that's not what the Rambam meant. What the Rambam meant was when you have a wall where there's an active tradition among some people, at least some people, that the wall goes back to the time of Yehoshua, and some say it doesn't, so then you have an actual doubt, and since you have an actual doubt, you'll read it on both days. But that's only if you have people claiming an active tradition that that's true. But if nobody knows anything about the wall, he says, Riyabov says, that's not even a suffix. That's not even a doubt. That's an important halakha concept that people always, not often, don't recognize. There's something called a leidat hasafek in halakha. Leidat hasafek in halakha is when we are required to start thinking about an issue. So the fact that I see a wall doesn't mean that I have to say, oh, maybe this wall goes back to the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, until and unless I have reason to think that the wall goes back to the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. I don't have to think about it, says Maria Boav. So you say, oh, the Rambam says, though, there are cities that will read on both days because they don't know. The answer is, says Maria Boav, that's only when some group of people says actively that they know, that they have a strong tradition, that they're confident that the wall goes back. And some people say, no, it's not true, the wall doesn't go back. So in that kind of a situation where we have a debate among people, that's where we'll read for both. To prove this idea, the Maria Boav reaches for a completely different concept that we'll get to in a second. But before, as we do, I just want to point out that when we reach across halachic lines to completely other areas of halacha and assume that they're governed by the same ideas, that's always an interesting thing to watch, because you can easily imagine somebody saying, no, the standards in area of halacha X are different than the standards of area of halacha Y. That's not what occurs here. So here, the Ria Boav points to Hilchot Shkagot. There's a kind of a korban called an Asham Taloi. An Asham Taloi is when somebody commits an act which, if he had done on purpose, or she had done on purpose, we get a karet prohibition, and does it and doesn't know if he or she did it at all. So an easy example would be eating chalev. So chalev is a part of the fats of an animal that some parts of the fats of an animal are called chalev, and those are the parts that would have gone on the Mizbeach in the time of the Beit HaMikdash that would have been sacrificed on the altar if it was a sacrifice in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, in the time of the temple. And then the animal has other fats called shuman. Shuman are fats that are perfectly acceptable and perfectly edible once the animal has been slaughtered in a kosher way, right? If I have kosher meat, I'm allowed to have fat in that kosher meat. That fat that I'm allowed to have in kosher meat halachically is called shuman, and it's distinct from chalev. So let's suppose somebody ate some fat and doesn't know whether it was chalev and shuman. So in some situations, that would require an asham taloi. What the Rambam points out is that the halacha is that before one can have an asham taloi, there has to be what's called an isur kavua. Right? So an isur kavua is that there's a well-established prohibition there. So for example, let's say there's some chalev on the table in front of me. Now the korban, let's remember also, as like many, many, if not most korbanot, is only brought for a shogeg. I didn't remember what I was doing as I was doing it. So there's chalev on the table. We all know that it's chalev. We all know that it's the prohibited kind of fat, and then I forget at some point, right? I'm not paying attention, and I don't realize that this fat is the chalev fat, or I forget for some reason there's a prohibition of chalev in the Torah. Two ways to get a prohibition, right? Shabbos issues are another example of that, but they don't come up in Hashanah Toli situations very much. They do, you can make it up. Anyway, so I have the chalev on the table, and I eat some of it, but I don't know if I ate a kazayit. So there I had an established iser, an established prohibition. If I ate a full kazayit of this chalev unwittingly, I would need to bring, I would have gotten curried for doing it on purpose. Thank God we're not talking about that situation. But if I did it not knowingly, I would have to bring a korban chatat. Right, that's the sacrifice that's brought if a Jew unwittingly violates, without realizing it, violates. People always say accidentally, but it's not quite true. Because if it's accidental, then you're not going to be chayav in it. It's that you do the act, you know you're doing an act, it's that you forgot or didn't remember important information about the act as you were doing it. So unwitting, I think, is a much better word for shogeg than accidental. So bis shogeg, unwittingly, if I had eaten a kazayit of this chalev, I would have to bring a chatat. But I don't know if I ate a kazayit of the chalev. So that is, the Torah instituted a separate korban, a sacrifice called an asham taloi, and the atonement that's being offered there is the atonement for not knowing whether. Meaning this is such a serious act that I need to know whether I did it or not, right? And if I don't know that I did it, that's itself a problem. And that's what the Hashem Tuli comes to atone for. It's not the eating of the chalev, it's not the eating of the prohibited fat, because I don't know if I did. It's the not knowing. And that's what I need atonement for in this situation. Another easy way that you can get to this Hashem Tuli would be, let's say there were two pieces of fat on the table. One was chalev, and one was shuman. Now, it's all fat, so it's not easily recognizable from each other. So, and I come in, and we all knew that there was one fat, one shuman, one chalev, one shuman, and I ate one, and then I lost the other one, and I don't know which one I ate. So there I'm in a situation, again, where I might have unwittingly eaten, done something that would get a karet. In other words, if I did it on purpose, that should deserve a chatat, since I did it unwittingly. If I did it, but I don't know if I did it, I need an asham toleh. So the point is that the Rambam says very clearly, and this is halacha, it's not the Rambam holds, that's very clear, that the only way you can get to an asham toleh is what you have is when you have what's called an isur kavua, an established prohibition. And then I can say that I'm in a suffix situation, I'm in a doubtful situation, I need to bring an asham toleh. And so, therefore, the Rabbi Yavoav says, when I transfer that idea to Kriyat HaMegillah, so then, if I have a city with a wall, I haven't established in any way that it's a going back to Yehoshua wall, such that I might even think, I might even have a Leidat HaSafek, that I would have to read it on the Megillah on the 15th, and therefore it's not an issue at all, and therefore you only read on the 14th. And that's because that's what everybody reads. That's what the Rehoboam held. You have these cities that are, as soon as they see they have a wall, they decide, oh, we have to read on both days. So the Rehoboam says, that's not what the Rambam meant. The Rambam meant, if you have a city with a wall and some reason to believe that that wall goes back to the time of Yehoshua, then you would read it on both days. So the Beit Yosef actually responds to this. He says, to me it seems that that should be true then, even if you're going to take that logic that way, then even if you have two groups in a city and they each have a tradition, one has a tradition the wall was not there in the time of Yehoshua, and the other has a tradition the wall was there, the Beis Yosef says, so there too that shouldn't be good enough. Why should that be good enough? Because if that were true in an Asham Tolui, you wouldn't do it. Meaning, what he means is, in the case of an Asham Tolui, let's say there's a piece of fat on the table, and some people say it's chaylev, and some people say it's shuman, that doesn't create an Asham Tolui, because we don't have an Isur Kavosh. So Beis Yosef is saying, you want to transfer the idea from over there. Actually, he's saying what I said, what I thought you could be able to say before, right? He's really saying it's not the same halachic situation, because you're going to transfer it. Then it wouldn't transfer to what the Rambam explicitly says. The Rambam explicitly says if two sides have warring opinions of the city's nature, then you would read on both days misafek, and you just told me that I wouldn't. So he says, so that can't be that we transfer it then, because then you'd never have a city that would read on 2 days. So Rabbi Lozer Fleckless, the Shut Tshuva Mi'ava, says, I don't understand what the Beis Yosef was talking about, because in fact, there's halacha in the Rambam that if somebody ate a piece of fat, and a witness said to him that was chaylev, and another witness said to him that was shuman, that since there's an ikba ha'isur, he brings an Asham Tolui. So that's what from the Rambam. So that's what Rabbi Lozer Fleckless says. So he says it's the same thing over here, that if they have a tradition, that he thinks that's enough to establish the question. So that's an interesting conversation of its own in both sides, meaning I think that Beis Yosef would have responded. Beis Yosef knew the Rambam easily as well as the rest of us, including, with all the respect, probably Rabbi Lozer Fleckless, because the Beis Yosef just knew the Rambam very, very well. I think the Beis Yosef would say that in that case of the Rambam, we had other confirmation that there had been chaylev around of some sort, and that the one witness said it first, that it was chaylev, and that established it, whereas here it's more complicated. So I'm not going to get between these two. I'm just pointing out, so there's a debate about the status of a tradition. Now, in the case of Prague, it wasn't quite a full tradition, but there's a debate about the status of a tradition that a city has a wall going back to the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. There are those who hold that a tradition about reading, those who hold, and the people who the Riav Oav sees reading the Megillah on both days, and the Beis Yosef, they would hold that the fact that one group says we have a tradition that this city has a wall back to Yeshua is what's called Ikba Yisur, here in this case not a prohibition, but it establishes a halachic fact or the possibility of a halachic fact, such that we now have a doubt about which day to read it on. And the Rabbi Lozer Fleckless and the Riav Oav seem to think not. They seem to think that you need a lot more than that. You need to have some kind of firm information about a city that it had a wall going back to that time before you would be required to think, maybe I need to read the Megillah on the 15th of Adar. So that's sort of all introduction to these ideas. Now he's going to come to his explanation of what he thinks to do about the city of Prague. He points out that there's a Ran in the first chapter of Megillah who says, in terms of Ayarot, of cities that are doubtful or don't know whether they have a wall from the time of Yehoshua, he says, the Ran says, the Gaonim say we follow most cities and they read on the 14th. Meaning that before a city would say, I think I'm a 15th city, it's not enough to have a wall. It would have to have some kind of firmer tradition, because otherwise you just follow the majority. Most cities don't have a wall going back to the time of Yehoshua, and therefore they should be like most cities. And the Gaonim, the way the Ran quotes the Gaonim, is that even if you say that it's an even doubt, it's 50-50, either the wall goes back to Yehoshua or not, or that it's 50-50 because we really have reason to believe that it goes back to the time of Yehoshua, it is a Derabbanan issue here. So a Derabbanan issue, we usually say, Safek Derabbanan Lekula, that when we have a doubt about whether we have to fulfill a rabbinic obligation, and we're not sure about the nature of the obligation, whether it requires us to do something, so the way, Safek Derabbanan Lekula means the way the rabbis structured their rules, the way the rabbis told us how to observe those ideas that they promulgated or ordained or decreed or set up as a customer, however they can do it, in all the ways, in all the different ways they can do it, they said, and if doubt arises about this, go lakula, follow the linear period. That's the way they set it up. They could have decided go lakumra, but they decided go lakula. Now, the city of Tveria, the Gemara tells us, would read on both days out of a doubt as a midat chasidut, and the city of Hutzal as well. So we'll get to Tveria in a second, but Hutzal did it because they had, and this is relevant to this tshuva, because they had a debate. They had different traditions as to how far back their wall went. So some said yes and some said no, and they would read it on both days. But the second day without a bracha, because it's a suffix of a bracha divrehim, and therefore you don't have to make a bracha on it, and you do make a bracha on the 14th, because that's when the majority of people did it. So That seems like, according to Gaonim, that reading on the 15th is a midat chasidut. It's not that you're required to, that really the Gaonim hold that until you have a well-established tradition that your city had a wall going back to the time of Yeshua, you're not required to read on the 15th. Meaning there's a couple of ways that the halacha can come. Meaning is the halacha, if you think your city might have a wall, if the halacha were just all cities with walls that go back to the time of Yeshua have to read on the 15th, then if you have a doubt about it, you can easily imagine to yourself, well, then I really need to try very hard to read on the 15th because maybe the wall goes back. But it could be that they said any city with a wall that has been well verified to go back. And then if you have a doubt about it, you wouldn't do it. So when they say, Safek Rabbanan Lekula, when they make a broad rule, Safek Rabbanan Lekula, that's sort of what the rabbi is saying, that unless you have a well-established rabbinic obligation, you need not try to fulfill that obligation. Then the Gaonim were saying, but it might be a Midat Chasidut. We see from the case of Hutzal in the Gemara, that it is a Midat Chasidut, it is a matter of supererogation, or where the Professor Tversky, Alav Shalom, taught me, a matter of going above and beyond the call of duty, beyond what you're required, to read on the 15th as well, but you'll read without a bracha. The Rambam, however, seems to have felt that it wasn't a Midat Chasidut, it was Medina, because you might need to read on the 15th, and that the tradition has established it well enough, even though there are people who disagree with the tradition, who argue the tradition is not correct, is not accurate, but nonetheless, since there are people out of the tradition, that you'd have to read on the 15th. That's what the Rambam sounds when he paskins it in Hilchot Megillah. So, and the Beit Yosef agrees with the Shit Shuva Me'ava's analysis here, because he says that it seems like these Gaonim are following the opinion of the Ravid. The Ravid had held that even, going back to the Chalev case now, that even if one witness says what you ate was Chalev, and one says it was, no, it was Shuman, that's not considered to be Beisur. I mean, the Rambam and the Ravid have a debate over there. So I said before, the Beis Yosef was telling us that over here it's a different situation. Now the Beis Yosef seems to be saying that, no, it's not a different situation. They're really still the same situation. But the Rambam held that one witness saying yes and one witness saying no counts as Ikba Isura, counts as, for the Rambam, counts as having established there's an Isur there. And that would mean then that in the case of a city, if one group says, yeah, it has a wall going back to Yeshua, that's enough to count it as Ikba, as an established obligation. That's why the Rambam would hold that you have to read on the 2 days just in case. But that's not so simple either, because the truth is, says Rav Elazar Fleckless, you could say, well, I don't know why we would follow that view that make it similar to the Shuman case, the Chedev and the Shuman, where you don't know which or what it was, and you have a debate now between the Rambam and the Ravid about how you define Ikba Isura, because I have another relatively similar situation. Let's say two people come up to a woman and say, you accepted Kiddushin from so-and-so, and two other people say, no, you didn't. So either she did, and she doesn't know. Right, she's not saying anything, or whatever she says could be a different discussion, but let's say she doesn't know. How could she not know? So, for example, she cannot know if she had told a messenger, we don't do this anymore, and I'm not saying we should, but halachically, if a woman appoints a messenger to accept kiddushin for her, and the messenger does, then she is a mekudeshet. So let's say the messenger goes off, never returns, and we don't know what happened. Two possibilities. He could have found somebody and accepted Kiddushin. Let's even say we know who the husband is, but he's not around. Okay, but he could have accepted the Kiddushin or not accepted the Kiddushin, and we don't know. And if she doesn't know, she can't marry anybody else. So she doesn't know. She's looking around for information. Two people come to her and say, yes, I saw the messenger accept the Kiddushin. And the two others say, no, it's not true. That's not what happened, and whatever. And so you have conflicting sources. So there, you might think that the Rambam would hold, well, Ikba Yisura, that when we have just said, when two conflicting sources establish something, we have to worry enough about the opinion that says that the status was acquired to say that maybe it's there, right? That's what we said about that one group says, one witness says it's Chalev, it's the prohibited fat. One group says it's Shuman, the non-prohibited fat. The Rambam seems to have held Ikba Yisura because he obligated an Asham Talu, he obligated the Korban, the sacrifice that comes for not knowing whether or not one unwittingly didn't act that should have gotten a Chatat or a Karet if it was done in other circumstances. So that would be a way to say it, right? So except that here says the Beit Yosef, I'm sorry, here says the Chuvayava, she's Bechezkat Pnuya. She has a status that goes against it. We, as far as, until now, her whole life, she hasn't been married. So to change status in Allah, we spoke about this before, to change halakhic status, that requires a higher level of proof, a higher standard of proof, to know that her status has changed. So maybe that should be true in our walled city situation. Maybe to make most cities are not walled for the time Yeshua ben Nun, even walled cities, probably most are not walled for the time Yeshua ben Nun. That being true, then maybe we should say that you need a higher standard proof. You might also say that the Rambam and the Gaonim are having a different debate, right? The Rambam and Gaonim don't tell us what their debate is. The Rambam paskin is one way, the Gaonim paskin another way. The Gaonim paskin, since it's a subject to Rabbanim, you go lakula and it's only midat chasidut. The Rambam seems to say no. The fact that some people have this tradition establishes it well enough that they're really sort of obligated to read it on both days. Another way to construct that machloket, to understand the underpinnings of that machloket, and this is a very important halachic practice, to know how and when and where debates come from when the members of the debate didn't articulate it for us. So we're always being somewhat speculative, but it's very important, very relevant, because if something was the Rambam's reasoning, and whatever it was will have ramifications for other cases as well, including for this case and how to apply this case. So having to be Rambam and Gaonim, I need to know as much as I can. So one option was they're having a debate about what qualifies as ikba isura, especially if it's going against the chazakah that we already have. Another option says, the Tshuva Mi'ava, is if you look at the Beis Yosef, he adds that he thinks that the people who read on 2 days in all cities with walls, this is mostly in Eretz Yisrael, but all cities with walls, he thinks, the Beis Yosef says, it's because once you see a wall, that itself establishes a suffix. Meaning, if I have a city that doesn't have a wall, I have the wall. Once I have a wall, maybe that fact alone is enough for Purim purposes to obligate me. Now notice, you never say that about fat. And the fact that I have fat in front of me doesn't mean that I have to start thinking maybe it's a chelev, maybe it's a prohibited fat, and therefore that alone would get me an asham tolet. We don't say that because there's no reason to think that something happened, but walls are the crucial component of a walled city for the time of Yeshua Ben-Nun. I just need to know the time situation. Maybe there, that's what the people of the custom to read on both days are thinking and are understanding. Another possibility, says the Shu Tshuva Me'ava, is that another possibility, this is an interesting one too, is that maybe they're having a debate, the Rambam and the Gaonim, about the status of Megillat Esther and of legislation that Esther made, right? Esther and Mordecai create the holiday called Purim. What's the status of that holiday? The Gaonim very clearly thought that it was Derabbanan, because they said that if you have a suffix, you'll go lekula, you'll be lenient, and you won't read on both days because suffix is rabbanan lekula. That means that they're categorizing it as a rabbinic promulgation, and that Mordechai and Esther and the Beit Din at the time were functioning in, the Beit Din was, Esther brought them the idea, and they were functioning in their rabbinic capacity, and therefore you follow the rules of rabbinic legislations, and you go lekula. Whereas the Rambam would hold, and the Rambam says things like this in his halachos, not in this context, but about the Book of Esther, it's not quite true, because once the Book of Esther reaches Tanakh, then it's something called Divrei Kabbalah. It's called the word in halachic language for Nach, in terms of their legislative ability, in terms of rules that they promulgate, is Divrei Kabbalah. So Divrei Kabbalah is a higher standard than the Rabbanans, and the Tshuva Me'ava is suggesting, and maybe therefore the Rambam holds that a suffix in that situation would be lechumra, like more like Torah law. In Torah law, everybody's clear that it's lechumra, that it's that you have to be stringent about doubtful situations. In rabbinic case, everybody agrees that you have to be lekula, and the Tshuva Me'ava is suggesting that maybe this Divrei Kabbalah, things that appear in later parts of Tanakh, not the Chumash parts of Tanakh, the Nach parts of Tanakh, maybe that's a debate between the Rambam and the Gaonim here. When it comes to Prague, there's another problem, because on one side, the wall is water. It's not a wall all the way around, it's water, and that's like a case in Tveria. They have that doubt as well, and that's another doubt, because the case in Tveria didn't read on the 15th, not because they thought the wall might not be old enough. They knew the wall was old enough. They just didn't know if having one side of the city be surrounded by water qualified as a wall, because if, after all, it's the point of the wall is that it's not open to the surrounding area, then this is also not open. But if it's because the wall protects, then the open seaside doesn't protect the same way, because you can have an invading force come from the sea. So that's also a doubt about Prague. And then also, there are postgames, says the Tshuva Me'ava, the Rishonim, who may clearly hold the whole idea of Mukefet Choma from the time Yeshua is only in Eretz Yisrael. And he says that there are those, Sefer Orchos Chaim wondered why when Moshe, Mordechai and Esther and their Batei Din were making the holiday of Purim, why they made it dependent on Yehoshua? Why did they make it dependent on Moshe and Aaron? So Ki had said, the Orchos Chaim had said, because maybe Yehoshua is the one who started the war against Amalek, so they gave it to Yehoshua. But the Gemara actually says it's about Eretz Yisrael. So Tshuva Me'ava, I think the Gemara says that, but Tshuva Me'ava says, they did it with, maybe the reason they did it with Yehoshua was to tell you that it's only about walled cities in Eretz Yisrael, because Yehoshua is the one who had the merit to bring the Jewish people into the land of Israel. And the Ran shows that there's a Rashi like that, right? That Rashi seems to hold that all the issues of of Mukhevet Chol, of reading on the 15th, are only applicable in Eretz Yisrael. That's because Rashi has it in the context of a discussion of whether cities have permanent sanctity or not. And in that context, he brings up the question of reading on the 15th, and that shows that he really seems to think that the 15th is an issue for Israeli cities only. Now, theoretically, you could say, well, that's only because Rashi didn't know of walled cities outside, but that's the way Rashi seems to have told him. Plenty of other Rishonim hold it's not true, that the concept of walled cities in the time of Yehoshua ben Nun applies to cities outside of Eretz Yisrael as well, but it's already a doubt within this halacha as well. And he quotes a Lavush, who the Lavush also says that he thinks, the Lavush says an interesting thing, he thinks that none of the northern cities, like the areas of Europe where Jews were living in the already in the 16th century, none of those areas have walls going back to Yehoshua ben Nun, because that wasn't the way the world was settled in the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. And all the cities that think about it outside of Eretz Yisrael are cities that are close to Eretz Yisrael, they're in the more southern parts of the world, and that's where you already had settlements that early on, and therefore it shouldn't come up. And he says, if you look in the maps, then and that's the way it comes up. So Reb Elazar Fleckless says, of course, it's not that we trust map makers in any way, but this tradition that these northern cities didn't have walls shows that the Lavush did not know that Prague read in both days. And the Shulman Shuvi says, and Reb Elazar Fleckless was sometimes in Prague. He had heard a tradition, he says, I heard a tradition that he was an Av Beit Din in Prague. He was a judge in Prague for 2 years. So that means he came to Prague. It must mean that he saw that they didn't do it. So that, not that he's trusting the map makers, it's that he says, I have from a couple hundred years ago, a tradition that seems to say that Prague had no tradition of reading on the 15th. All of this together casts enough doubt on the custom that Reb Elazar Fleckless says, you know what, I think that it's not even a Midat Chassidut. I really don't think there's any reason to read on the 15th in Prague, because I have not nearly enough information that would raise enough of an issue to make it make sense to say, yeah, we should read on the 15th. You can always come up with some kinds of doubts, but that's not what's going on here. But he has to say, you know, if my fathers and my forefathers all were stringent about this, I'm not going to say, well, I'm going to be lenient about it, because it's not for me. So that's another halachic sort of experience of recognizing that if you go through it by your own logic, you come to X conclusion. But the fact that those who came before me, who were giants in their own, did X and Y and Z, limits what I'm going to say about these things. And he points to where Advaz, who says that, you know, about something about the city of Mitzrayim, Ir Mitzrayim, which might have been Cairo, I'm not sure which city, a city in Egypt. And he also said there's no reason to be machmir, but those who do and read on the 14th and 15th, you can't say anything to them, because they're reading it on the 15th without a bracha, so they're not doing anything wrong. There's nothing wrong with it, so you can't get in their way, even though he thinks there's actually no basis for it, and therefore there's no reason to get rid of a custom. This is what the Advaz says, because it's karov the sachar. You can only what can hurt you, and you can get good stuff from it. And therefore, that's what's true here. Says Reb Elazar Fleckless. He's writing all of this just to clarify the issue, to make clear that if you want to do it, because that's your custom, go ahead. But if you're not sure about what to do, there's no need or no reason that you have to do it. And that is a responsible day for the 15th of Adar for Shushan Purim, talking about the city of Prague, and talking in general about how we identify those cities and what kind of standards of proof we use for cities as to whether they are walled from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. And I will close here, since we're ending the Purim season now, with a last and perhaps belated wish for Simchas Purim to all, and that we all have lives filled with Simcha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all the best possible ways, including the kinds of salvations the Jews saw in the time of Purim. Have a great day.